So this is Joanne Fosland, and today is the February Foslands Forum. I am a personal and business coach who loves working with people who want an incredible business life as well as a personal life to go along with it. Anybody ever get challenged by not having enough time to have a perfect personal life?
Yeah,
okay. So that's my specialty, and I'm really excited today. I have a new program I'm going to be focusing on this year called Social Partnering. And what Social Partnering is all about is giving you the opportunity to expand the pie, so to speak. And when I say expand the pie, what I'm meaning is instead of us looking at business as a fixed number of transactions that are going to happen out there, how can we be rainmakers and create for ourselves more business than we'd ordinarily have? Does that sound like a good idea? Yep. Okay, good. So what we're going to be doing today is the first session of a 5-session series I'm going to be doing on social partnering. And at the very end of the call, for any of you that want to know more about this and want to enroll in the other 4 sessions that are going to be a follow-up to this, I will give you the link and the opportunity to do that. But my intention is that today I give you information that you're going to be able to get into action with, you're going to be able to use, and you're going to have an overview of building more referrals for yourself in 2010. So is anybody struggling with the economy out there?
Yes.
Yes, one or two of you at least. Is anybody having, like, just more business than they can handle and the year is great? Okay. I know there are people out there that are in that place, but I think that the economy has impacted a lot of us. And so as I'm working with my coaching clients and thinking about the programs that I can offer to give you value, having you focus on some ways that you can increase the referrals that are coming in seems like the natural place to go. Because what I believe is that we have an opportunity to increase our business if we consciously build the team of partners we have around us. So are any of you working with other people that have in mind the same demographic, the same customer as you are? Anybody got some social partners you're already working with?
I do.
Who's that?
Barney.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm in a rather formal networking group, and we have, you know, there's a mortgage person, financial planner, dentist, a whole series of professionals that, you know, we more or less try and, you know, share, you know, opportunities with.
Right. Good, Marty. And is anybody else in a networking group?
Yes.
And what kind of networking group are you in, and who is this?
It's Cass in Atlanta.
Hi, Cass.
A rather elite professional group that has only, like the gentleman, has only one from every group, from
uh-huh.
every field.
And, wonderful. And both Cass and Marty, I know that when I was actively selling, I was in Rotary and a member of another networking group that was just business leads for entrepreneurs. And both of those were great networking groups. So that is really part of what we're talking about here today. And what I'm intentional for agents that want to be successful this year and helping them do that is expanding that. So the leads groups are wonderful. One of the real good ones that has come up in the past few years is now I just lost the name. So I just won't go there until it comes back to me. But But we are seeing that you build relationships with people, and people give you referrals. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's no longer, I believe back in the 80s and 90s, we could get away in this business with cold calling. People actually called up companies not knowing anybody there. But the 21st century is all about relationships, I believe. And that's why I call this social partnering, because it's about building those relationships with other people. And what happens when people get to know you is they start to trust you. And all of us, I know, have probably had the experience of needing somebody in the trades, a roofer or a plumber or somebody like that. And instead of just going to the Yellow Pages and picking the prettiest or the biggest ad, we go to our friends, don't we? We ask our friends, who do you know? And through that, we're able to get somebody that's probably more qualified than just the random choice we might have in advertising. I saw a statistic the other day that was done last year that said 14% of people trust advertising, 76% trust referrals of their friends. And I think my experience right now is that that referrals is where it's going. It's going that way in person, and it's going that way online. And while the name social partnering may have led some of you to think that this was going to be all about social networking, it's not. It's about being social online or offline. And I think we do need to be expanding the ways we look at it. So we will be in this series spending the whole last session talking about social media, but it's only a small part of what I see the successful agent needs to do. I think we need to start where we are. So those of you that are in leads groups, or you have the opportunity to join a leads group, I find for many leads groups, usually the real estate spot in it is the first to go. And so it may even be that you need to start your own leads group. Invite a few people that you really know, like, and respect, and get together on a regular basis to enable each other to give leads to each other. There was a book written several years ago by a man at Arizona State University. His name is Robert Cialdini. And Cialdini's book is called Influence. In his book, he says there's something called the law of reciprocity. And with the law of reciprocity, he purports that people don't like owing other people. So if you give somebody 2-3 referrals over a month or two, how are they feeling about that?
Like they owe you something back.
Like they owe you something back, right, Ruth? And so what happens is, even if we've done a really good job at expecting referrals, staying in touch with the people in our past customer and client base and the tradespeople and the other solopreneurs out there, if we haven't given them a referral, they're not as likely to give us one back or to even have it kind of come through the filter of everything they listen to. Because, you know, as human beings, we're in a really information overload all the time these days. And when somebody in a store perhaps hears somebody else say, oh, I'm buying this because I'm, you know, thinking of moving, and I need to pack up my stuff in these plastic crates or something, that person might just say, oh, that's nice. But if you've sent 3 people with coupons into that person's store in the last month, they might say, do you already have a realtor to handle the sale of your house? Because a lot of other tradespeople will know of somebody moving before somebody's ready to put something on the market. So it positions them that they're already listening in a different way. That's why referrals will increase. The same thing about why tips clubs work well, and that's because you're actively giving business to people. I know some of you on the call have heard my story about Emily Link, who is a realtor and a WCR member out in Thousand Oaks, California. And Emily and I sat at a national dinner in 1992. Everybody exchanged cards at the table. And Emily called me about 3 months later and said, one of my clients has somebody that's a cousin of theirs with a rental in Tucson. Would you like to list their property? Well, what do you think I said? I said, yes. And Emily and I got to know each other. 60% of her business is from other realtors or the people that are her strategic partners. And she has so much of her business coming from there because what she told me she does is she said she gets up every morning and thinks, who can I connect today? Who can I give business to today? Because we all know what we put out comes back tenfold. And so the referral business here from giving business to other people can make us very, very successful. So what I'm asking is for each of you to think about the business plan you did for this year. You did do a business plan, right?
Yes.
Okay. If there's anybody on the call that didn't do a business plan, go up to my website and get my business plan for $12. It'll be the best investment you make. But for everybody that has done a business plan for this year, I hope part of that was tracking where is my business going to come from this year. So you probably, in putting your plan together, looked at where did my business come from last year. And perhaps it was 60% referrals and 15% the internet and 10% FSBOs or expireds. Some breakdown like that. I want, if you want to be successful in the social partnering, for you to consider on purpose this year what percentage of your business you want from direct referrals. So a lot of the time, we think referral business is accidental. I'll hear people all the time say, well, I got really lucky. Two people called and referred me to other people. But I believe the people that are successful intentionally have referrals as part of their business plan. And then they have different streams of income or streams of people that are going to have those referrals happen. For most of us, we have some attention on referrals from our past customers and clients, don't we? Hopefully. Hopefully everybody's saying yes. It's really kind of a scary statistic of less than 5% of realtors nationwide, according to NAR, regularly and consistently stay in touch with their past customers and clients. But I know we have the cream of the cream on the call, so I'm guessing that most of you have already as something you're doing consistently. I'm going to give the webinar again just in case there's anybody on the call that wants to join us on the computer. If you go to gotowebinars.com, click on Join a Meeting, and put in 717-289-507. I do have a PowerPoint presentation on the screen. For those of you that are listening to the audio, you're not missing a whole lot. So be happy where you are. So my point about referrals and building those into your business plan is that it starts with your past customers and clients. For those on the call, could like three or four of you share with me what is your average or experience each year in referrals from past customers and clients? Do I have shy realtors on the call? I think that's an oxymoron. a couple of you, share with me what your past customer and client referrals percentage was last.
My referral base tends to be between 45 and 55% of my overall annual business.
Great. And was that Adam?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. And who else?
Joanne, Miss Marty, I'm probably 70 to 75%.
Okay, great. Who else?
It's Ruth. My business is referrals and repeat business, about 80%.
Okay, great, Ruth. Who else? Okay, so we've got some real good percentages there from some of you, and I'm guessing maybe the ones of you that didn't jump in either haven't tracked it or maybe it's low. Or maybe you're just getting started in the business, and that's fine, too, because I find often it takes us several years to get to the point where we're having a high amount of referral business. Now, would you all agree with me that that referral business is usually pretty much a joy to work with?
Yep.
Absolutely.
And why is that?
Well, they trust you.
They trust you, yeah. So you don't have to go prove yourself from square one. But they already have some relationship, and they already trust you. Any other reason? Often I find they already know, and this may come into the trust as well, but they know your services, or they know other people, or they've had that experience with you. So if they're referred from another client, they may not have firsthand had the experience, but the other client had told them that you did a good job. We find, was a real interesting statistic, that with the information overload, if people are worried about choosing the right company or the right agent, the better known that company or agent is, the more likely that company or agent is going to get their business. And being well known doesn't just mean being well known in doing a lot of advertising or marketing. It means having some of those loyal clients that are going to give you business. What I have found, however, is that often our past customers and clients, what we have is maybe 20% of our past customers and clients are giving us 80% of the referrals. With the personality tests that I am certified to do and train people in, what I find is that pretty much tracks at the extroverts out there. So the people in our past customers and clients that fall into the personality style of extroverts, they're really willing to tell other people, oh, you need to use this person. But the introverts are often scared to make a mistake or scared to refer, even though they liked you, even though they trust you. They're really hesitant to make referrals. Now, it's a whole different class about how to teach them and train them and make them feel okay, and this class isn't that. But I wanted to point that out. So we have probably a limited amount of referrals we're getting from within our customers and clients. The secondary place that we can get referrals from, and this is one I find few agents are getting a lot of referrals, are your industry partners. So it's the other people in your leads group, in your business that you give business to, like your loan officer, your escrow person, your client people, those people giving you referrals. So let me hear from a few of you what your percentage of referrals from those people are. Anybody? Okay. Well, I'm assuming then it either didn't get counted, it didn't get tracked, or it didn't exist. And that's where this program on social partnering is all about. So the opportunity, I believe, to build with other people who are interested in the same market you are is huge. And I had a giveaway on my website, and if there's anybody on the call that didn't get my Fabulous 50 worksheet, I'll do a follow-up link to it. You will get an email after this call that will have a link to listen to the call again if you want, and also some resource links in it. And I'm going to talk about the Fabulous 50 in a couple minutes, but it's a freebie I have for you that I'm using with my coaching clients, I'm using in this program to help you think about who are the other people or businesses that you might want to begin to really deepen the relationship with. I know that everybody on the call probably has a CPA and a doctor and maybe a massage therapist, all sorts of tradespeople that you use, and yet maybe because they're not real estate related, you haven't thought about how can these people help me in my business and how can I partner with them. So here's the direction that I want you to be thinking. There are lots of people also struggling in business right now with the economy that have marketing budgets that want more customers. And if you can show up and work with them to increase the number of customers they have them help you and send people to you and increase the number of customers you have, does that sound like a win-win?
Mm-hmm.
This is my test every once in a while to make sure you guys are still out there. Thank you for answering, Marty. I like it when people play. And I thank you all, too, for monitoring the noise in the background. You all are doing a great job of having the call not be interrupted by any noise. So the opportunities now, where are they? Let's talk next about thinking specifically for yourself, who are the other businesses and solopreneurs that are interested in the same client issue? You know, back in the 80s and 90s, it was all about being a top-producing agent, and it was pretty much ego-driven advertising. And we've seen that, and for the most part, I think the smart agents know that what is connecting with clients is when they can see you're helping them with a problem. So they have a problem. They need to find something. They have a problem. They need to sell something. And how do you do that? How do you help them do that in a way that's different from other people and in a way that gives them more value than anybody else? And this whole concept about social partnering is about adding value. So if you can be thinking about what are the needs of those people, and not just specific to real estate, but specific to a broader picture of in their lives, what else are they doing? I believe social media, specifically Facebook, has expanded for most of us the ability to kind of look into and tap into others' private lives. People are posting things on their profile pages that give us insights into what's happening with their families. And I did say the fourth session of this program, we're going to be looking specifically at how you can be more effective there. But I think for each of us, it has to be broad. We need to be using lots of different venues, lots of different ways of connecting with people. And as I said, it's not just looking at, okay, I quit doing what I used to do. My new strategy is online. No, we want to keep what's working, and we want to supplement that or complement that with some of the new strategies that we can use. And things like Facebook have enabled us to comment every day on something that somebody's doing, to see when one of your clients' son has won a softball game or when they've just come back from a vacation. And in the old way of us keeping up with people, maybe even if you were very, very good at calls to your past customer and clients, and my rule of thumb is that you should be connecting with them on the telephone at least four times a year. But even if you were really good at that, consistent with that, you had 3 months of finding out what's been going on. And with Facebook, you can read about it in, 10 seconds, and it just keeps you up to date. It may spur a phone call and say, congratulations on the promotion or winning the award. Coming back to the topic of promotion, it may let you know somebody's moving before they've even thought about it and jumping in with that. So we have a lot of opportunities. Other businesses and other solopreneurs have services for those people. So the very first thing you need to do is you need to know who your clients are. Niches equal riches, I say. And what I mean by that is we no longer can try to be a good general real estate agent. We have to have three or four niches that we are the master of. We are the expert. And certainly past customers and clients might be one of these. So it's going to be broad. In the old days, a lot of times when we talked niches, people thought we meant just geographical. It could be a geographical farm area. It could be a lifestyle niche. It could be you love people that are you have a boat and you love to network with other people that have their boats. It could be a hobby. Maybe you love to horseback ride or knit or read books or cook. So all of the lifestyle things are expanded, and again with social media, there's a lot of ways to find those people, but the other side of it is find the people that serve the people. So if those are the people that you want to expand your niche in, having more services that will be value added to them, as well as creating these relationships with people who serve them. Because if you want more people that are looking to buy ranches or ride horses, if you're networking with the feed stores or the other places where those people hang out, we're more likely to have somebody in their sphere of influence be referred to you. Are you guys following? Does this make sense so far?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. So the first place I want you to look is identify for yourself what are your three or four strongest niches. What are the three or four areas that you love to work in, love the people, and that you feel comfortable? Now, this may come to who knows you. So looking at the groups of people you already have that trust relationship with, looking at where you already hang out, like I said earlier, maybe the yacht club, thinking about not being a pushy salesperson in these kind of situations, but how can I go deeper? How can I actually maybe to the yacht club provide value by sponsoring a newsletter for them or putting a community page on my website so that all of the upcoming activities and races are listed? How can I subtly provide value so that what I'm creating is the presence so when they're ready to do something or they know somebody that's ready, I'm just the obvious person that they're going to get in touch with. Now, I'm going to share a statistic with you at this point just to put it in a little bit more perspective as we talk about the rest of what I want to talk about here. They say that the average person has 100 to 200 people in their sphere of influence. And I actually heard the way they come up with that is how many people attend the average funeral. That's a pretty bad way to figure out how many people we have, or sad maybe. But the average person knows about 100 to 200 people. What that really translates to then is that if you look at all the people you have in your sphere of influence, exponentially it's expanded. If you look at tradespeople, people that have businesses, people that have professions, most of them have even more. I would suspect that each of you has more than 100 people in your databases, and probably your CPA also does, and the other professional people you do business with, your doctor, your lawyer. Now, the average person moves once every 7 years. And just for purposes of being conservative here, and it's also an easier number to use, if we use the figure the average person moves once every 10 years, that means if one of these business people know only 100 people, and people move once every 10 years, they have the opportunity to refer 10 people to you this year. That's almost one a month. If they have 10 times that many in the database, that might be 100 people. Now, you and I both know everybody has a brother in the business or cousin, or a lot of people already have relationships. So you're not going to get 100%. But you, if you just got 3 people referred from 10 different tradespeople next year, would that make anybody happy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's like minimal, because what we're talking about with My Fabulous 50 is actually making contact with 50 people, one a week over the next year. And some of these people you're going to have more depth of relationships with. Some of them over the coming years may grow. But can you imagine if you added 50 new people that had businesses that wanted to increase their business to your sphere of influence and created a program to be able to have them regularly or consistently send you business? Even if you got one each of those, that's one new piece of business a week. So the numbers there are the average person has 100 people in their sphere of influence. 1 out of 10 is going to buy or sell this year. So every person you get in front of probably will know or talk to 10 people this year. And then the trick here is get in front of, make friends with, and create relationship and value with people who are automatically going to send you some of these referrals. So, back to where I was, where it starts with who knows you. Think about, make a list of, and this is actually going to be the first session, or the next session of this series. So I'm going to give you an overview today of all of the pieces. You can go off and do it on your own, or if you want to be part of a structured program to be able to do it, signing up for the Social Partnering Program will give you the steps. And in next session, excuse me, we will be expanding. You will have homework. We will really have you look at the different categories of people that you want to put in here. So it starts with who knows you. The other important thing to be always thinking about when we're doing our business plans and strategizing is, where is the money? Now, what do you think I mean by that? Did I stump you? What I'm talking about is the people that are going to buy and sell this year. Who are they? So what are the trends? What are some trends right now?
First-time home buyers for the tax credit.
Yeah, first-time home buyers for the tax credit. What other trends are out there right now?
Foreclosures, short sales.
Too. You think so? And I'm just teasing. I know some of you aren't in Arizona, California, or Florida, but for those of you in other parts of the country, I know it's not, you haven't been touched by it, but for some of our markets out here in the Southwest, it's 60 to 80% of the market. Any other trends?
We're still seeing move-up buyers.
Oh, move-up buyers, and that also has the tax credit, Adam. So
yes,
we definitely see some trends there. I believe this is locational, though. So as you're looking at your own area, every year when you're doing your business plan, thinking about what's happened this year as far as trends, what's likely to be happening in the coming 5 years. because where you really want to be is you want to be positioned out front. You want to be getting those keywords and putting value up, getting partners that when a trend that is not firmly in place hits, you're already number one in that trend. Now, the first reply I got there was first-time home buyers. The Gen Yers are now outnumbering the baby boomers this year. So the baby boomers were the largest generation we'd ever seen, and they're dying. And as they die, there's fewer and fewer of them. It's hard for me to say that. We went to a funeral just about 10 days ago of one of my husband's best friends from high school, and you start to think about who's not around anymore and feel very, very grateful every day when you get up above ground. But the Gen Yers are the 14 to 31-year-olds. So we even have quite a time here where they're going to be coming into the first-time home buyers market. The first half of them are firmly there. Many of them, even though there's the first-time home buyers credits out there right now, are scared to jump in or not quite ready. I saw some studies that said year after next, in about 18 to 24 months, we're going to see the biggest wave of first-time home buyers we have ever seen. It's going to revitalize in many ways the real estate business in that segment appreciably. So if you're not having one niche of your business be first-time home buyers, that may be a very valuable place to be positioning some things for the future. With those first-time home buyers, what they perceive as value and what their needs and communication are is very, very different than the seniors or the boomers. So it may be that we're starting to have some value-added partners that may look very different than the value-added partners we have with our traditional clients. So I'm just throwing a little bit of that out there. At some point in time, the REOs and short sales are going to go away. But for most people, they're a significant part of the market that if you want to go where the money is, they need you to get some education, a designation, or at least have somebody that you know that you can refer business to that has needs for that. So it may not be that you want to work that market, but don't turn them all away. Get somebody else that's an expert right back to this referral idea of building there so that you have people that are going to take care of it. So look out 5 years at what trends are here right now, what trends are coming. The next thing you want to be thinking about is what do you love to do? My friend Karen Kay rides a Harley, and a few years ago she discovered 60% of her business came from the people in the Harley group. So she set about that year to contact the Harley distributorship. She got them to give her a coupon for 15% off of accessories. She got them to trade some links on the website and do some joint promotions. So she was handing out information, and they were as well. And it was all something that just fit into something she loved to do. I find a lot of realtors still are separating your personal life from your public life. And while I believe you need to have a personal life, I'm not one that's saying disclose everything about your personal life and, you know, go put on Twitter I'm having coffee, because who cares? But I also believe that those things we love to do give us the relationship, give us the trust automatically of people. And we, most of us, are more relaxed when we're just having fun playing basketball or tennis or golf or sailing or riding horses or whatever the things we love to do are. And I've seen a few people really incorporate that into their businesses, but very few. So if you were to take two hobbies that you love, 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 and think about who are the businesses that support those hobbies, how can you create maybe a monthly event around that hobby? One agent I know loved to cook, and she invited people in her sphere of influence to sign up at a different restaurant each month where she had them actually giving a cooking lesson. So they'd show up at like 4:30 or 5 in the restaurant, and she had the restaurant agreeing to, you know, have the cook show them how to make one meal or something like that. And every month it was a different restaurant. She opened it up so it was first come, first served, so it was to her database, but she also let them bring a friend. So she was expanding into the people they knew, having fun with it. So think about the things that you love to do, and think about how you can use those loves. Now, from the last three categories we've talked about, who knows you, what are the trends, and what do you love to do, the question then is, who are the consumers? And when I ask that question, what I mean is, think about geographically where they live, how much money they make. Are they women or men? Are they boomers or are they first-time home buyers? Who are the people that you want to work with there? And the next question then is to make a really long list for yourself for each of those demographics. Who else serves those consumers? So I mentioned my Fabulous 50 list. What I have done on the Fabulous 50 list is I've given you three pages in an Excel spreadsheet that you have some categories already filled in, so I've tried to make it easy for you. I think I have 76 or something different suggestions there, but I'm just suggesting that you pick 50. And then once you pick your 50, go back, prioritize, gather the contact information, and then go through systematically and start contacting people. Now, one of my good friends, Margaret Rome, is back in Baltimore, and I had posted a link to the Fabulous 50 up on my blog post on Active Rain a couple days ago. Margaret commented on it that she had never written it all down, and that she loved the list because she was able to sit there and see where she was at. She actually had 25 people that she has gotten referrals from that she's actively working with. When I ask realtors in my GRI classes how many they have, I find usually it's a lender, sometimes an escrow person, one or two other people within our industry. And, you know, the trouble with that is even though they are good sources of referrals, and I think you should have them on the list, they know lots of realtors, don't they? So if you're expecting your lender to give you each and every referral that they come across, what are your chances? Probably zilch, unless you're the only realtor your lender works with, or it's your brother. So I have, in the Fabulous 50 list, listed a bunch of real estate services. But here's where the real gold in this list is. You want, like I said, you want to have those. You want to go through. And as I'm talking about this, I'd be remiss if I didn't say one of the most important things you need to do when you're building your social partnering team is to make sure the other people have integrity that is on the same level as yours. You want to make sure that if you don't know them and haven't done business with them, that you've checked out their recommendations. You've checked out what they have as far as a website or their Facebook or LinkedIn information. You want to just vet them so that you don't get any unhappy surprises, because when we recommend somebody to somebody else, it's our reputation that's on the line. And certainly people make mistakes. We all make mistakes, but you need to first of all make sure that the reputation out there they have from the get-go is a good one. And then if there's a mistake, seeing how they handle the mistake is one of the best ways of finding is this a good person for me to be partnered with? Back when I was in the magazine business back in the 80s, we used to make mistakes on the Homes magazine from time to time. And I used to tell my sales staff that what you often find is when you've made a mistake, you can have even more loyal client mistake well handled than if there was no mistake at all. Mistakes are always an opportunity for people to show their true colors, to run in the phone booth and put on their Superman or Superwoman cape and come out and make it even better than it was. Or if you get somebody who, when there's a mistake, they blame everybody else and it's never their fault, or the circumstances are their fault and they're powerless to do anything about them, that's somebody you don't want as a partner. So as you're putting people on your Fabulous 50 list, really be careful before you jump into giving them access to your sphere of influence. And hopefully they'll do the same with you. On the rest of the Fabulous 50 list, I've broken it down into some categories, again, to help you. But I've left blank lines, and if I didn't leave enough blank lines, that's fine. You don't have to pick any of the categories I have. The main thing here is for you to look at those clients, look at your niches, and look at who those customers might be happy to have some value or services from. So the second category I have there is businesses and services. I've got a bakery, a coffee shop, a graphic artist, an internet marketing expert, a pizza place, a printer, a restaurant, web presence provider. So you kind of get the idea there. Who do you do business with? Any of those could be somebody on that list. And then I have other professionals. Here we're looking more at people like bankers, bookkeepers, CPAs, attorneys, et cetera. And then how about personal and health? A nutritionist, a massage therapist, a doctor, a dentist, especially if you're having people move in from out of town. Some of those people may be ones that they need to have some referrals to. Then I have personal services, things like an auto mechanic or a babysitter, a dog walker, an event planner, a florist, food delivery, et cetera, et cetera. And then your niche marketing services. If your niche is golf or boats or the Harley, what are the specific businesses that your niches might find value in? Comments? Does anybody have something that's fairly unusual, not just our regular lender escrow person that you're using or getting referrals from?
Joanne, one of my best referral partners over time turned out to be basically a guy that was in lawn maintenance, but he was the most gregarious human being on the planet. And he could not go down the block without talking to people about other companies that he was doing business with. So I think a lot of who you wind up as referral partners with has to do with personalities and how they approach doing their business.
That's very true. And like I said, with your personal clients, probably 20 to 30% are going to be that extrovert. And identifying that in some of these social partners, you're just dead on for that's what's going to make or break it. You don't want somebody that's sitting in a computer cubicle all day long, not out there seeing people. One of my friends that lived in Reno, Nevada, John Smith, told me his best referral person from the previous year had been the window washer. And it sounds, Adam, like it's much like your person where he washed windows inside and outside in all the office buildings and just chatted with people as he went along.
Yeah.
And John said one year he got 6 referrals from the window washer. So, you know, we think too narrowly about who might be here. And these are people that, you know, what's in it for a window washer? I don't know, but I'm sure that something could be created, and in all of our states it's different about being able to give people anything. In some states you actually can give them money and other things, and in other states you can't give them anything, but you can take them to dinner or, you know, provide something that would thank them. But the approach here really is to get social. You may be so focused on the real estate part of it that you don't have a lot of these resources. So that's one reason I have my fabulous 50 list, to kind of help you think about categories. Well, I never thought about asking this person for referrals. Now, once you do that, once you've filled out your list, the approach is going to be once a week, if you want to take it on wholeheartedly and play with this, go to coffee or take out to lunch one of these people. Let them know you're building your business and ask them about their business. Ask them if they could use more clients. Ask them who their perfect client is. What, you know, what is the age group, the price range? What are the interests of the client that they're looking to build their business with? And then the next step is, if you guys, you may have somebody that you realize you have nothing in common with, or after you sit down and meet them, you decide you don't like them. So, you know, that may be all that that conversation goes. But when it works well, you may find that you're able to really see the possibility that you've got some clients that might be good clients to this person, and you hadn't even thought about it. And they may have some people that they've never talked real estate with, so they don't even know if that 1 in 10 is buying or selling this year. You want then to create a program for being in touch with these social partners, and that's what we're also going to be doing in the rest of this program, putting together you getting, just like your past customers and clients, you're going to stay in touch with these people on a regular basis. You're going to perhaps do promotions with them on a regular basis. Just a real easy example here is perhaps a pizza parlor. And with the pizza parlor, they're wanting people to come in. And when people move in the neighborhood, there's been a study that the first pizza parlor they go to, if they really like the pizza, is probably the one they keep ordering pizza from. So when you close that transaction, having an empty pizza box with a letter on it from the pizza company saying, right now as you're moving in, it might be a good time to order a pizza, or whenever you want to take a break from cooking, please give us a call, and the certificate is good for your first pizza on us. It drives people to their store, makes you look good. You have absolutely nothing out of pocket. And that's the other thing in this program. We're going to be looking at how you can have a lot of your marketing be zero marketing, because these other social partners have services, and they're already advertising. Restaurants advertise, you know, buy one, get one free. I have an example on the screen for the people that are on the webinar, but I'll read it for the people that are on the phone. This person identified one of the hot buttons for his target market was eating out, and he's in Denver. And so he's sending out on a monthly basis a coupon to a restaurant that he's profiling where he's had an exceptional experience, and giving them a coupon where they can go visit. The coupon on the example is one for a complimentary appetizer if they purchase a dinner entree. And it also lets them extend the happy hour specials to certain days and times. And by doing that, it may be that you have 12 restaurants around where you live that you can go in and have these restaurants be strategic partners. You're giving something of value to those people that love to eat out, and the restaurants are making money because you're sending people in. So that's the kind of example that I'm looking at when I'm saying zero-based marketing. Do you think if the people that you're communicating with right now, your past customers and clients, the people in your database, or even the people if you've got a farm area where you're farming, would be happy if once or twice a month they're getting something for free for, from you that they could use that fits their needs? Say yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Say yes. Okay, I think so too, and that's why I'm so excited about this program. So I'm going to just kind of wrap up with a two-minute commercial here on the program that we've kicked off today. It's called Social Partnering, and it's going to consist of four more one-hour webinars. You can either jump in and do it one session at a time, or you can sign up for the whole four sessions, and the cost is $39 for individual sessions and $149 for the whole thing. This first session is going to be next week at the same time. Oh, excuse me, it's on Wednesday, not Tuesday. I'm sorry about that. So the sessions are February 24th, March 3rd, March 10th, and March 24th. All sessions are going to be taped, so if any of the sessions are ones you can't make, you can listen to it, or you can listen to it afterwards if you want to. The very first session will be creating the plan. We'll be looking at who is your strongest customer and what are their needs, who are the partners that are going to fit that. The second session, we're going to be going a lot deeper into the best social partners, like Adam said, choosing their personality style, choosing their integrity, choosing all of the things that are going to be important so that you really can have people you're proud to work with. Session three is going to be all about cross-promotions. I'm going to give you lots and lots of ideas about the zero-based marketing to build your marketing with these people and create a win-win. And then the fourth session is going to be touching on social media. We may touch a little bit with that as we go along, but that session will focus on using the Internet, using social media, to both find new clients and to find new social partners as well, because you might find there's some very assertive, aggressive people out there that are also building their businesses that you like the way they're doing things, and they'd be a great social partner, but if it weren't for the Internet, you wouldn't have found them any other way. So the registration is on my website. If you go to Joanne, JoeAnn.com, and I'm assuming because all of you are here, you already have my contact information one way, shape, or form, or you wouldn't have known to come to the call today. But if you look at the drop-down with current programs, you'll see social partnering, and you can sign up there. But for everybody else, if you're choosing not to jump into the program, I hope you will, if you haven't already, download the Fabulous 50 list and set up for yourself a plan to create more referrals for yourself this year, to have some partners that will help you lower your marketing costs and increase your reach and value that you're giving the clients that you want. And that said, unless there are any questions, and I'll be happy to answer any if there are. Okay, it doesn't sound like there are. So I would just like to thank everybody for taking your time today, and I hope that you got some ideas and some value that is going to help you with your business in 2010, because I believe it's going to be a wonderful year. We're all above ground.
Yep.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you, too.
So much, Joanne.
Very, very welcome. Thank you very much.
Joanne, thank you. And I was wondering if I could have permission to share the Fabulous 50 list with my networking group.
I'd be pleased for you to share it. Yep, when you print it out, it has contact information at the bottom. So the only thing I'd ask, Adam, is if any of them would like to sign up for my newsletter or anything like that, please let them know. I'd be happy to include, because I'm going to have a freebie every single month for this whole year.
Perfect.
Yep.
And I've got a couple of other realtors in one of my networking groups, too, so that may be good for both of us.
Okay, wonderful. I love it. Thank you.
Super. Thanks,
Joanne. I appreciate it. You betcha. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.